Welcome to Deep Conversations, the podcast where I sit down with, well, myself, for now at least, and just think of it as eavesdropping in my inner monologue about life, love, and all the bizarre twists in between. Okay, so are you ready to dive deep with me? So today I'm going to talk about my birth story, not my own birth story, but my daughter's. I was very, very determined to go as natural as possible. I was doing all the education and everything. I had this whole birth plan, but nothing went according to the plan. It was all up in the air. Because you cannot control your life, especially your birth, your how you give birth is, especially if you want something specifically, I learned, it's not going to happen. So you definitely need to go in with no expectations whatsoever, or you'll be super, super disappointed and just embrace it as it is. And, you know, as long as you have a healthy mom, healthy baby, at the end of the day, that's the blessing. But anyway, so I did all the classes, hypnobirthing, this and that. I planned to have a water birth, or at least like being in the water for relief. But anyway, so my contractions started, and actually it was like for a long time, and we even thought I was giving birth like 2 days or 3 days before I actually gave birth, and I was even checked into the hospital, and my midwife was going on a vacation, so she was like, I think she was a bit pushing us to have the birth then so that she could be involved in the birth. But I was like, why am I trying to give birth if I'm not actually giving birth? It's not even my due date yet. So even though we checked into the hospital, we left after the birth didn't start. And my doctor was also like, oh, I thought, you know, how it was conveyed to me was you guys were kind of anxious because you live far away from the hospital that I was going to give birth in. And if you are anxious, we can just start like induce the birth now. And then we can, you know, start the birth and you're here now. And I was like, why are we inducing the birth? And he was also like, yes, you're right, you know. Why are we inducing the birth if it hasn't started and everything is healthy? So we went back home, and I'm so, so, so proud of that decision, because if we had induced the birth, it would have been hell for me. I know it would have been, because when you induce birth, it's much more, more painful and you need epidural, etc. So I'm still proud of that decision. And we went back home, and my actual contractions started a few days after that. And my midwife changed. And actually, I was already speaking to the midwife that was actually attending my birth before, and I really, really wanted her. And it all turned out for the better, I guess. And she was super professional. She was exactly, you know, what I wanted. And she even came to my home when the contraction started at night. And she helped me get to the hospital as late as possible. So I was actually almost ready to, you know, start pushing when we got to the hospital. And it was so relaxing. She put me in the shower for relaxing, etc. It was really, really nice to start out with her. But we got to the hospital, and I, even though I was promised the water birth, there was only one birthing pool, available at the hospital, and we had actually asked about this. What will happen if both of the births, because there was two birthing rooms, if two of the moms want a water birth at the same time? And they assured us that, you know, that never ever happened. And even if it happens, they can bring in another pool from a different hospital. And there ain't no time for that when you're giving birth. And that did not happen because apparently another mom who was giving birth, who actually did not want a water birth, ended up wanting a water birth. Whereas when I planned to have a water birth, I did not have a water birth, which is, I find it kind of ironic. Anyway, so the birthing pool was full, like occupied, and they were not even telling me this. And I was like, what's going on? Why aren't they taking me to the pool? I'm dying over here. And then I was like, my God, give me the epidurals, give me the epidurals. I was like screaming because it was so painful. And before we got to the labor room, and I was in my own room and in the hospital, and they were putting me in the shower, and I was like, I don't want to get out of here. I want to give birth right here, you know, in the shower. So that's how I know that I would have loved to have like been in the water, and it sucks. And it was too late for epidural, of course. And I was like raw dogging it, basically. And I was like, fuck. They gave me this painkiller on my arm, like an injection, but it did nothing. I don't even know what that was. Like, was it placebo or whatever? And I was like, oh my God, this is the worst. But I was like pushing, and they said that I did a very, very good job pushing. But she was kind of stuck at the end. So that's where, for me, the hell begins, because she was stuck at the like final push, and she was not going, and her heart rate started going down and down with each push. So the doctor had to intervene, and we had no say because, you know, her health was at stake. So she was like, he pulled my husband, and he was like, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to do three things at once. We're going to push from the top, and we're going to do a vacuum, and we're also going to do episiotomy, which is the one thing that I did not want with my birth. In my birth plan, like the one thing that was the last was, you know, all of these. So, but he was like, there's no option. We have to do it because otherwise she won't come out, you know. And so we did that, and she came out. Everything was fine, but it was like, I don't even remember, by the way, like, none of this. It's like a dream state or a nightmare or whatever. It's like a dream state. And you kind of like, it's like blackout, but you're not blacked out. You're still there. You're still doing everything, but you're in a different zone. Like, you're in a different realm, basically. And like, I kind of remember, I remember all of this, but I don't remember the exact pain I was in. I remember it was a lot, but I can't imagine it now. Like, I can't re-feel it like how it was, because it was so much that I kind of blocked it out, maybe. But my husband remembers everything. So he's the one who was traumatized. And so he was like right by my head. And he was like, even in the pictures, he's like, his face is all, you know, his face is all worried and everything. He's like, he thinks that something bad is happening. But anyway, she was out, and she did not cry immediately, or she did not make much noise. And he always thinks that she has to cry, or it's a stillborn. And he was always worried, like, She was going to be born, like, you know, she was going to be a stillborn for some reason. But I knew, like, I don't know if it's instinct or whatever. I knew she was okay. And I did not have any worry. Like, they put her on me and I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe that moment. But they had to take her away because there was a lot of things at play there. Because one, our pediatrician was like, it was his first day at that hospital. He was brand new. He was like, it was the first birth that he had attended, and he did not know my doctor. So they did not have like a report with each other, basically. So he didn't follow the mother friendly, you know, mother baby friendly practices as my doctor. So he was trying to save, like, quote unquote, save my baby. And like, he was like, okay, I'm going to care for the baby on the table. And then he didn't let me keep her on me for the, like, the golden hour, they say, like the first hour. He didn't let me bond with my baby for 1 hour. And that was like another one of the top things that I always wanted for my birth. So that did not happen because she had to go to the, he didn't care for the baby on me. And also, like, she had to go to the, the high intensive care room for that 1 hour specifically, like that exact hour she had to spend away from me and in the intensive care. And I was feeling so bad. Like, you know, the worst part for me was not the birth, I think, but after, when I was getting my stitches for my episiotomy, and I was like, I don't, like, because my husband went with the baby, like, they were like assuring him, like, you go with the baby, she's fine, blah, blah, blah. But I was like all alone with the doctor, and I was like, it felt like he was stitching me for hours. Like, that duration was so long for me. And I was like, I just want to go, and like, I want to get away from here. Like, this is the worst. I mean, it's not even hurting, but it felt like I felt so uncomfortable. Like, I wanted to go. And like, he was always, you know, trying to make me relax. But, you know, that was like the worst experience for me, like getting those stitches. And anyway, so she was fine, but he thought that, apparently, like, my husband afterwards told me that he thought that I was dying, the baby was dying. Like, he was like, what's going on? Like, this is because I was screaming so much. I, like, my almost my chin was going to come out, he said, like, my jaw was going to come out. And he thought the baby was not fine because she was in the unit, etc. And also, like, the doctor was not very sensitive, like the pediatrician was not very sensitive. And he said, for instance, he was asking him, oh, is the baby okay? And then he was like, it's not that bad. And then he's like, how bad is it then? It's bad. And then anyway, my doctor was like, oh my God, this guy, you know, like the other doctor, oh my God, how can you say that to him? But anyway, she was fine. She was perfect. And she came afterwards to my room and we bonded and everything. It all turned out fine. But what my point was that, like, everything, like the my most important points, other than, of course, healthy mom, healthy baby, which is a blessing, of course, other than that, was like my top three was not happening for my birth, basically. Like, me bonding with the baby for the first hour, and like skin on skin contact, episiotomy, like, and all the other, you know, things that had to happen, like vacuum pulling and like the pushing from the top, like all of those were like, I hope I don't have to have those, basically. But I still had a natural birth and no epidural. So I am proud of myself for doing that, like being able to do that. Oh, I forgot also, the water birth was not happening for me. So those are the things. But, you know, I'm still grateful that I was able to have the natural birth without epidurals. I'm not trying to diss anyone who had to have epidurals, because I get it. I wanted them like really, really bad because I was not getting a water birth. I'm not trying to make anyone feel lesser than or anything. That's just what I wanted. But also, like, I did not get a C-section, which is kind of interesting for me, because for me, I was always like, you know, C-section is okay, and, you know, maybe I will get a C-section, and then it turned into, I will definitely have epidural, like, what's the point, like, why should I not get an epidural, I don't get it. And then I got all these classes about natural birth when I was pregnant, and I was like, oh my god, now I understand, this is why. So once I was educated on the topic, I'm like, I definitely want a natural birth as much as possible, like as natural as possible. But hindsight, if I knew I was not getting a water birth, I would definitely get the epidural from the get-go because, you know, that is very, very hard. Like, I don't know if I want to go through that again, but next time I would also definitely make sure that I'm getting a water birth, and I would get my own birthing pool if it calls for that. But like, my first preference would be definitely having the water birth experience. So that is the story of the birth of my baby. She's perfectly healthy still. She's almost 1.5 years old now. And I love her so much, and I would not have it any other way. Like, she's the best thing I ever did in my entire life. I know it's cliche to say that, but it is. For me, it is real. And she's the best thing that ever happened to me. Going back to that birthing moment, like the highest peak of contractions. And remember I said, like, I blocked it out. I kind of feel like it feels almost like a moment between life and death. I mean, it is literally like a moment between aliveness and unaliveness, you know, almost kind of like, I know she's like alive in my belly, but still like she's coming into this world. So it's like a transition state, you know? So it is like almost like that transition between life and death as well, for me at least. And that is the same realm that you are in when you're giving birth, in my opinion at least. And it's so weird, like, it's also kind of like having ayahuasca is almost similar experience, because you're in that transitional space, in that realm, in that same realm. When you're on ayahuasca, you're literally like dying and then coming back alive almost. And it's weird. It's like the analogy, like the similarities of the feeling, and then the feeling of it is so similar. And yes, there one similarity is, I think definitely is, like, when you're going through birth, you're almost like, oh my god, I'm never, ever, ever doing this again. And then after ayahuasca, you'd say, okay, I need to do this again, definitely. So once you're inside, you're like, holy shit, like, I want out. Like, that first moments in that transitional state, you're like, oh my god, this was a huge mistake. Let me out. Like a roller coaster, you want to get out of it, but you can't. It's too late. And you just have to let go and go through with it, and just let it like trust the process and let it do its thing for you. And like, that's the best, you know, advice for a pregnant woman and also someone who's doing ayahuasca. So it's like the same thing. And then you're like, afterwards, you're like, oh my god, that was amazing. I have to do this again. Most of the time, unless like your baby is very, very naughty and you're like, okay, one is enough. And the intensity of like the emotions, like when you're going through birth, and as well as like you're in when you're coming down from ayahuasca, like those like embracing emotions and like loving life and, you know, everything, like those kinds of emotions are like super, super similar. And then you experience, like the experience is like so divine, like both experiences feel so divine, and you just lose yourself in it, and then it's like a dream state, and then it's weird. Like you have to experience both to understand what I'm actually talking about right now. You can't fight it. You can't fight either of them. Like you have to lose yourself in it. Like you have to let go. So that's the biggest takeaway for me for the birth. You have to let go. And I think I did a very good job. I definitely think my ayahuasca experiences really, really, really prepared me so well for my child's birth. Definitely. So to close things off, even though there were things with my birth experience that I would not have in my ideal story, I'm so, like, everything happens for a reason, and I'm so glad everything happened in the way that it happened so that my healthy baby was able to be born. Because who knows if I had gone through, I was able to go through with water birth, maybe it was not going to be okay for my baby in that instance, because she had issues coming out of me. So the interventions that had to happen were not going to happen as fast as they happen in my original birth story. So who knows what would have happened if I was able to get the water birth that I wanted. I'm so glad and proud of myself for trusting the process and, you know, letting my resistance go in terms of, and like my control, like sense of control go in my birth story, so that I was able to have the experience that I had and, you know, the outcome, which is my perfectly healthy baby. Thank you for listening my story.